Yeah, you are the right person. So he says that this is the, yes. All right, so when did this occur?
Seventh hour.
Seventh hour. And there's a little bit more information though to that, right? What else do we have in there? Same. So he says the same hour. So when does this guy then find this out then?
That his son's alive? Next day.
It's like the next day, right? Yeah. So it's the next day that he finds out, but it happened at the very time that Jesus said it. Anything else that happens? Any other when, Marcus?
It was after Jesus left Judea, and 2 days after forming the large white bear.
2 days after?
Yeah.
How did you get that?
That's
okay.
You're
back it up, back
you're
it
reading,
up, man.
Reading in the scripture there, buddy.
If you have it on your chart, then say it.
Well, right at the beginning, it says after 2 days, he departed thence.
So it's after?
Yeah.
All right, so we will not say that it's after 2 days after the first time. All right, so who? Let's get some who's going.
Certain noble.
Yeah.
Slaves.
Slave service. All right. Who else? All right, so we got some rules there. What's the problem? Sick unto death. Any other problems you see? Jesus wasn't where the boy was?
What's that a problem?
Yeah, that's very good. Very good. That's actually going to get to some of the points here. But
the Noma says, come down here, my child die. Else you think my child would die.
Yes. So this actually gets right to the heart of it, right?
Yes.
Because
he
sees it as a problem that Jesus isn't where his son is at. And he wants to bring him down, right?
So
he thinks he has to get him there. Are there any other problems listed in the text?
I believe.
But before we get to there, does anybody see Jesus mentioning a problem?
Yes, he says, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. That's what he told the man.
So he tells the man this. But what is he telling? Is he saying that the man has to see a sign and a wonder? Like, look what he said. Unless you, now, it doesn't say anything there because in the authorized, it's just as it is, it goes right through. Unless you. But the you there is a plural you. You know how you could say you,
yes.
Bill, or I can say you.
But
I mean y'all.
The authorized one says he, except he sees signs and wonders.
So that whole King James
okay,
thing is, but it is plural. So when Jesus says, unless you see signs, he's saying people. He's speaking about the group. What is that doing? So it's saying that these people, unless you see signs and wonders. Now, do you anybody see a problem with this? With the man? With anybody in this miracle? Did anyone see a sign and wonder in this miracle?
I'm really sorry about this, but I can't take any requests right now. Please try again in a little while.
They didn't see that, right?
What?
When did they saw it later, right?
Yeah.
She's like, she's hearing me because I was plugged in. But isn't that interesting, though? That there is, Jesus says, unless you people see signs or wonders, you won't believe. And then he says, your son's healed. No one sees anything. Because how far is Capernaum? We don't know how far it is.
20 miles.
Huh?
20 miles. From
20 miles, which takes about
2 days walk.
A day, 2 days to get over there, right? That's pretty long.
Yeah.
That's pretty long. All right, so we have Jesus saying that. All right, so now let's get to the means, the sign. How does he do it?
Speak.
He speaks.
Go, your son lives.
So he says, go, your son lives. That's it. Now, let's take a step back, though, and think about this, though. Let's put ourselves into the guy's shoes, right? Go, your son lives, all right? Your kid is sick. He's sick to the point of death. He has a fever. He's dying. Now, do you think it's pretty impressive that this guy walks about a day, close to 2 days, to go to Jesus? Do you think he believed that Jesus was able to do something?
No. That wouldn't push it up.
Would you walk 2 days to go bring somebody?
Well, if I heard someone was healing, I might.
So there is something there, right?
Yes.
There's some sort of belief. But it's not the full form of belief. You're right. Because then what he goes on to say, when Jesus says this, what does the... Jesus says, your son lives, and it says, the man believed the word that was spoken.
Later on, it says,
Isn't this weird, though? So we see that there's some sort of belief that brings the man there to Jesus. He believes enough that Jesus, he knows if Jesus, if he could get him down to where his son is, he can heal his son. So that's one belief. Then he has another belief, all right? This is the second belief. Where Jesus says, go, your son lives. What does he do? He believes and he leaves. He doesn't bring Jesus with him. He goes back. Yeah. So imagine it. You've taken a day to 2 days to get there. And now the only thing you've gotten out of the whole exchange is your son lives. And you go, okay. And leaves.
Yeah.
That's
and
something.
And then a day later, he gets meets his other servants who says your son lives.
Yes. Son lives. And when was he healed?
The same hour. The seventh hour.
Same hour that Jesus spoke.
Yeah, yesterday. Same hour yesterday. Seventh hour yesterday.
So, he goes, he finds out that when Jesus spoke, his son really was healed at that moment. And then it says, the text says, he believed. Right?
Oh, how?
Faith. He believed. And his whole house. What does that imply? About his whole house.
They respected him. And he must have loved
him. How about...
Yeah.
Did he tell them? I mean, for them, if you think about it, for them, those people at the house, they never saw Jesus say, go, your son live. All they saw is him sick unto death and then him get better. So they're like, whoa, what just happened? And it what? And let's go back to the text. Look at what the text says. As he was now going down, his slaves met him. Isn't that interesting? He didn't get to the house. His slaves are running out. They're going to go meet him. And then his slaves meet him. The servants meet him. And then he gets the message from them. So they never saw Jesus do or say this. They just see the sign happen. And when they meet him, then they start comparing notes and they hear from him. And then we get, he believed, and his whole household believed. Now, is there a different form of belief there, then, from this belief where he's heard from Jesus? Would you say that's a different form of belief?
Yeah.
or is it the same belief? That's a tough one, right? All right, so here we go. So step one belief is enough to say there's a solution somewhere out there. It's this guy Jesus. He's done some amazing things in Cana of Galilee. He's been in Judea. I'm going to go see if he can come here. So he goes to him. Second belief is based on, not what he's randomly heard, his second belief is based on his own word. The word of the Son. The Son speaks, he believes. And then his later belief, his last belief, is still based on the word, but it's confirmed. His belief is confirmed. So he gets to his final destination. He arrives home, and his faith is confirmed. And everything locks into place. That's something, right? All right, so let's jump ahead, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, because we got to get to our comparisons, which was the main part of the homework. All right, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Where did this occur?
Bethany. At the gravesite.
Bethany. All right. Anything about Bethany is important?
Simeon's house of bread. Oh, no, that's Bethany.
What was it? What were you going to say, Josh?
It's 2 miles away from Jerusalem.
Now, why would John go on and say that? All right, Bethany, 2 miles away from Jerusalem, so we can assume rightly that this is in Judea, right? Anything else about the where? Where's he when he gets the news? Further away, right? Doesn't it say? All right, so when did this occur?
Before he was crucified, right? When
might even been that hope that same week.
Yeah, because I think they do the same thing at the same.
Now there's a little clue at the end, near the end of the chapter, in verse 15.
55 or so?
11:55, he's Passover night. Yeah. Yes. And when does the Passover occur then in a few chapters?
Before.
Well, the Passover is a spring. But what's interesting in John, what he says here in John 11:55, he says the Passover at hand. And when we actually get to the Passover, it's when Jesus dies. In John chapter 18:19, that's when he dies. So that's actually at the Passover. That's pretty interesting. All right, so who was involved here? Now, there's a lot of people. So you list them off, and I'm going to write a lot of people. Jesus.
Lazarus, Mary, Martha, Son of God.
Disciples, crowd, mourners, right?
Yeah, Thomas, yeah, right down.
Mourners, Thomas,
Lord. Jesus also calls himself I am.
Yes, he does call himself
I am. He also says, I am the resurrection. So, I am the resurrection.
Lazarus, it was a prayer to the Father, right?
It's the life also.
The Jews, right?
When he heard this news, he was in the Jordan. Beyond Jordan. Because it says that, I got a reference here, and it's a reference to 1040. If he went away beyond Jordan into the place where John was first baptized, and then he exhorted unto him, they stay there. And John did no miracles. It said, John the Baptist did no miracles, but often that John spake of this man the truth, and many believed on him there. And it doesn't say he went anywhere else. Then it talks about a certain man was sick, and then down here it says, when he, in number six, he says, when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So he was beyond Jordan when he heard it was in another country.
Possibly, but I'll submit to you, John is very selective about the materials he presents. So, for example, in John chapter 4, if you go back there for a second, John chapter 4, right? You see that in John chapter 4, in verse 46, he came again to Cana of Galilee?
Yeah.
All right? In John chapter 4, the top part of John chapter 4, it says that, therefore, the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making more and baptizing more disciples than John. He left Judea and went again to Galilee by way of Samaria. So you see that in John chapter 4, he's going back north. In John chapter 2, he goes down to Judea. And in John chapter 3, he's in Judea. But here's what's important about all this I'm saying. John doesn't record a single miracle that Jesus performed in Judea. Not one. He doesn't mention any of the stuff that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. So what it seems to be is that although we have these divisions, we don't know really if he was in that area or not. Here, let's go back to John chapter 10. This is why I'm saying that. Because here in John chapter 10, it says that he went again beyond Jordan, right? Now, when does John chapter 10 occur? When does John chapter 10 occur? It says here that it was during the Feast of Dedication. Look at verse 22. John chapter 10, 22. At that time, the Feast of the Dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter. So now here's what's important. And it says Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So here, you see this part here, he's down below, down south again, but it's during the winter. So, and John doesn't even bother telling us how long he's in one area versus the other. He has this discussion, and then he has Jesus going to Jordan, Jordan beyond Bethany there. So he has him going up there, but he's not telling us every step that Jesus takes. So when he says where he was, we could guess, okay, he's in the Jordan up there, beyond Jordan. Or we don't know, which is also possible, highly likely. All right, so let's go back to John chapter 11. What was the problem?
Lazarus was dead 4 days.
Was he dead 4 days? Was that the problem at first?
Sick unto death.
Sick unto death. Remember, the first problem, the main issue was at first, there's Jesus, wherever he is, and they get a message. And it says, Lazarus is sick. Now, they're not just writing a letter saying, by the way, Laz has a cold. He has the sniffles. We need more tissue. They're not saying that. What are they suggesting by telling Jesus, Lazarus is sick? What are they asking him to do? Come, right? Come down. So he's sick unto death. That's a serious sickness. And then, now, Bill, your point, it's interesting because what happens is, he dies. Right? But that doesn't happen yet. Because when Jesus receives the message that Lazarus is sick, what does he do? He waited 2 more days. Then he dies. Lazarus dies. And then he says, time to go wake him up. Right? Lazarus asleep. Time to go wake him up. And apparently the trip is long enough that when they arrive, he's been dead 4 days. So it's a pretty far trip, right? So it's about 2 days. All right, so that's the one of the problems. Any other problems listed in the text?
I'm just sleeping his life.
Any other problems?
I would say the apostles had a lack of belief.
Wait, what was that? Who thought that? Let's twist that a little bit. What is it that they say? What did the people say, though, when
if
they say?
If you had been there.
If you had been there, what would have happened?
Lazarus would still be alive.
You'd still be alive if you'd been here. If you'd been here, none of this would have happened. All right. Any other problems?
I'd say that his disciples showed a lack of faith.
Are the disciples the only ones who have a lack of faith in this chapter?
No. Martha.
Martha. Yes. Mary. Now, let's listen to what they said, though. Let's go back to what Martha says. Does she have some sort of faith?
Yeah.
What is the type of faith that she has?
Because, Jesus, after
she believed in the resurrection, and Lazarus was raised again.
So she believed, right?
Yeah.
But she didn't.
She believed he's the Son of God.
And she believed that?
Yeah.
That's interesting, right? So here she has a belief, like this guy. He had a few kind of different beliefs, right?
She also believed that he was the Christ, the Son of God.
So she believed that. And yet, Jesus tells her that the resurrection and the life isn't only some future event. It's not just some future event that you get confirmed later on and see. It's something that's right in front of her. And this goes back to your I am statement, Bill. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Isn't that interesting? So she says, I believe in a future expectation. A future confirmation of my hope. I will see him again. I know that. But then she's crying. And what do we see about Jesus' reaction? Did you see Jesus' reaction?
Yes.
He wept. That was one of the things he did. But what was the other thing? The King James says that he groaned in his spirit. And you know what that means in real English?
Strong emotion. Almost anger. Probably anger.
Why would he feel that? There's the people all around him, weeping and crying. Oh, we can't believe it. If you had only been here, he wouldn't have died. Oh, no. You, Son of God, you, resurrection of the life, you missed it. You didn't even get here in time. You blew it. If only you were here, nearby, this never would have happened. What does John chapter 4 tell us? Did he need time to get there? But did Jesus need any time to perform?
No.
Did he need space? Did he have to go down there?
No.
He didn't have to do any of that. And here, the people are flipping out. The people who know him as the Christ, know him as the Son of God, believe in a future resurrection.
Martha believed that whatever he asked of God, God would give him.
She believed all these things, and yet there they go. Oh, if only you had been here. What we needed you was being closer. So they had a problem with time and space as well. He needed to be there right when they needed him. All right, so what was the sign? How did Jesus heal Lazarus?
He said, he commanded the fire of your light of voice, Lazarus, but good.
Wait a second, so he spoke. Wait, didn't he do that in John chapter 4?
Yeah.
So he speaks. Does he ever touch Lazarus? Remember, what was their big issue? They wanted him nearby. Did he ever touch Lazarus? No, right? So they wanted him to come near. Does he even go into the tomb?
No,
he doesn't even go into the tomb. He comes near enough. And then he still brings him out of the grave. So what does he do? How does he do this? How does he perform the sign? He speaks, but what does he do first?
He tells him to move the stone.
Move stone, right? Move the stone, so he gets them involved. You guys move the stone. Now, isn't there anything interesting about this moving the stone? What's the first thing that they would encounter upon removing the stone?
The stench.
The stench. He's really dead. It really is spring weather. He really does stink it, as the King James says. So they smell it. And then the next thing they hear is him not yet commanding Lazarus to come out. What is the next thing he does? After he tells him to move the stone. Yes.
Did any account just say it was like a family tomb? And if there was, you know, more than this?
No, I don't think in any of the account it says anything. He prays, right? And what's the reason he prays?
Before he thanks the Father, he says, what is, believe thou shouldest see the glory of God.
Yes, he does.
Verse 40.
Yes, he does ask him that they're going to see the glory of God.
Tells him that.
But when he prays, what does he? How does he say this? Note this prayer. Josiah, can you read out that prayer?
Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou carest me always. But because of the people who stand by, I said that they may believe that thou hast sent me.
Does he need to pray? Did he need to pray at this point?
No.
Did he need to pray out loud? No. So he starts praying out loud so they can hear. And then he says, so that they can believe. And then he speaks. Lazarus, come forth. All right. Result. What happens?
Lazarus came forth.
Lazarus come forth. Yeah. What does he have the people do with Lazarus?
Loosen and let him go.
Let him go. So they're seeing the evidence of this miracle right in front of them. Right? They smelled it before he's dead, and now here it comes. Now, what's the result in faith?
Many of the people, many of the Jews that came to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did, believed on him.
Many believed. All right, awesome. So it's a great sign and wonder, right? Many believe. Unless these people see signs and wonders, they won't believe. Is Jesus telling the truth when he said that?
Yeah.
Why? How is it? But there's many that believe. What does the verse go on to say?
Well, some of them, the next verse,
went
their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done.
All right, so here we see a but, right? And it's a pretty big but. These people, did they believe the sign that they saw? They believed it, surely. They saw it, right? But what was their reaction to it? They had a different sort of belief. They didn't have a belief that says, Jesus is Lord. They had a type of belief that said, this guy's a problem. We got to get rid of this guy. So here we have a couple of different senses of belief again, right? Because Martha had some different senses of belief. She believed one thing of a future thing, of a confirming hope, but she didn't really believe that he was going to do something now. And then these people see the signs and wonders, and they believe, many of them believe, but then you have another group of people that they saw it. They knew what he did. They smelled it. They saw it. They heard it. But what they go and do is they say, this guy's got to die. They go tell the Pharisees, and the Pharisees decide, yep, this guy's a problem. We got to kill him. That's it. One man has to die for the nation. All right, comparisons. Comparisons.
The miracles were outside of Judea.
Well, so comparison and contrast. So we have, this one happens in Judea, right? This is John chapter 11. This is Bethany. It's 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And this one over here happens in Cana, right?
Yeah.
Of Galilee. Yeah, but both there was a sort of a distance, because we have Capernaum, right, was a bit of a distance from wherever Jesus was, too, right? Well, actually, those both have the same thing. Jesus was further away. All right, what other stuff?
Jesus was a miracle worker.
Jesus performed a sign. How?
Jesus was a miracle. Water, wine.
But in these two situations, how did he perform the sign?
The son became well.
How did he perform it?
He
spoke. He wasn't nearby. No need of time and space. He didn't have to be near the guy. He didn't have to be there seeing him. He spoke. He was better. Anything else? What more differences? Contrast.
Contacted
in person. Contacted by letter. All right. What else?
John 4.
All right. Yep. Keep going. What was that? A main person? What do you mean by that? Flesh it out.
Someone that they have a name.
Okay, so. Oh, someone relevant in both cases?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so in this case, it's someone with a name. Wait, well, who's the message from in John 11? Does the nobleman have a name? The nobleman's not named, right? We don't know the name. In fact, the text says it this way, a certain nobleman. It doesn't even bother giving us the details. All right.
He's official.
He's official. Yeah, so what else we got there? What else we got?
So, one thing I came up with was that the child, which everybody in John 4 miracle is the stranger to Jesus. And in the case of John 11, there was a friend of Jesus.
In fact, how does it even describe him?
One he loves.
He loves him, right?
Jesus healed a son, a child, and a man.
Both were males.
All right.
I will say this. I think Jesus recognized some of the Jews. That's why he said, "Bring your son."
All right. In Cana of Galilee. Do you think he recognized people in Cana of Galilee?
I'll bet he did.
Because that's where he had a wedding that he even went to, right? So he probably knew the people there.
God, he didn't have the ones that wanted him dead, he knew who they were.
The glory of God.
It's
only second.
All right. In John chapter 4, do we see a sign and wonder at Cana of Galilee? Do the people see a sign and wonder?
His whole house, he's standing in his whole house.
But that's in Capernaum, not in Cana of Galilee, right? So there's no obvious sign or wonder.
Did he do the kid that well?
Yes, so when Jesus says, your son lives, no one sees it. Except for the family that's miles away.
Yeah, they saw him get the kid.
Yeah, so they never even hear Jesus say that. They just see him get better, but they don't have that direct connection.
Well,
but in Cana of Galilee, he speaks, and no one sees anything.
You know, there's certain noble man knew it was the same hour that Jesus spoke. He went to his home,
yes,
told him, and then the whole house believed.
So that's later on.
Yeah.
But at that point, he sees nothing.
They saw. Now, I agree that Jerry.
He
right.
saw Jesus or nothing.
No, but he didn't see the miracle.
Right.
They didn't see, for example, when he performed the healing of the man who couldn't walk for 38 years, or who was sick for 38 years, he says it, the man's walking, people see him right away.
He didn't see it, but he knew, because when Jesus spoke it, he turned away, he believed, he just knew it was going to happen.
All right, let's put it this way. Did people see what happened here immediately?
No.
In John chapter 11?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So it was an obvious sign and wonder, right? Now, in John chapter 4, was it the same sort of thing?
Not a see, but a no.
It was just a, I know after the fact.
Okay.
He got there, and then he goes, oh, sweat.
Yeah, a day
it
later,
really did
a
happen.
Day later, the same hour, he met his servants
exactly.
coming to him.
Exactly. So it's the day later. So when he says this, we don't see the sign or wonder right away. Here, when he says it,
it's
we
like
see the sign of running
he,
right away.
When he walked away, he knew in his heart it was going to happen. When he heard it from the servants, he knew in his head.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Now, let's stay with that. So he knew in heart, right? Not in head. For short, it's he believed, but he didn't have his belief confirmed. Now, these people, what did they say? Did they have a similar thing? Did they know in their heart that Jesus was going to raise him from the dead or heal him?
Martha knew.
When was she going to heal? When was he going to be healed from
the
dead?
She knew he would be resurrected, but she didn't know right then.
That's right. So she knew in her head when he was going to be resurrected, right?
Yeah.
And when did she expect him to be resurrected?
At the end.
Now, he knew in his heart, but not in his head, and he got the proof of it later. She knew in her head, but not her heart, and when did she get the proof of this sign? Immediately. Right? Immediately. Alright, so what we're doing here is comparing and contrasting. Oh, we're going to get to the lesson right now. But this comparison and contrast helps us see the text. It helps us see the text. It's like putting on a different pair of shoes. You ever put on somebody's different pair of shoes? They're bigger or they don't feel right. And you can feel every bit of difference when you put somebody else's shoes. I don't know how it is with twins. But if I put on or if my son puts on my shoes, I bet he feels the heat difference. He feels the grooves of the foot difference. I mean, if I put on his shoes, I might feel the sogginess. I start picking up the details much more differently than the regular shoes I always wear. My own shoes, I slip right into them. No problem. So what this helps us do, it helps us looking at the text, because you've been charting, we've been having all these details here, and then when you start looking at the text, it starts making you ask questions like, man, why would John have these two signs in the same book that have so many things that are similar, and yet so many things that are different? Do these things connect? What's the big idea I'm supposed to be getting out of this stuff? And mind you, you can do this with other chapters too. For example, John chapter 4 ends with this sign, right? With Jesus commanding that this man's son is healed. He just says that your son lives. He tells him this. John chapter 5, you know how it opens up? With a man who's sick. Who then Jesus tells him, do you want to get well? The man starts complaining. They say, get up and pick up your bed and walk. And Jesus heals him right away. But in that chapter, does the man believe? Well, he believes enough to pick up his bed and walk, but not enough to confess him as Lord. Yeah, he doesn't even know who the guy is. And in fact, when he does find out who he is, he goes and rats him out. Isn't that interesting? And then in John chapter 9, we have another story about belief. But this man, when he is, the mud is put in his eye with a spit, he walks to a pool, and his whole time he's walking to the pool listening to what Jesus had told him. So you see there's some connections with all those things. But here we took these two things together, and we compared and contrasted them so that we could see the differences and see how they relate so that we could try to get ideas what the text is saying.